time is 8:31, and you're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. Temperature currently in downtown Winnipeg is now 16 degrees Celsius. And joining us now on the line from his office in downtown Winnipeg is David Matus, who is a human rights lawyer of international renown. And he has also been very focused on this whole issue that came out in the last report on the whole question of the Eritrean government's illicit or allegedly illicit involvement within Canada. So, David Matus, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Okay, now, first of all, do you want to maybe just briefly outline how you came to be involved or your familiarity with this issue and maybe the history of your own involvement?
Well, I'm a refugee lawyer in Winnipeg, and as a result, I meet many refugee claimants from different communities that are victims of human rights violations in their home country, and I certainly had occasion to have Eritrean clients, so I'm familiar with the situation in Eritrea, and some of the people in the Eritrean community who I knew came and approached me because they know about my general concerns about human rights, so I saw what the situation was, and I decided to become involved.
Okay. Now, could you maybe tell us, like, precisely where you see Canadian law being violated?
This ban, the Walter ban, if you look at the website announcement, it looks innocent enough. It's just a statement of a ban that's playing. But if you probe into it a bit more deeply, it's a military ban. The performers are military officials. The ban before it came to Winnipeg had performed in two other cities, in Toronto and also in Calgary in Toronto. I think it was August 4th, and in Calgary it was August 12th, and there were people present at those events, and indeed in one of them what happened was recorded. And you could see that what was going on there was more than just people playing music. There were a couple speakers there. One of them was Demrit Yohannes, who's a former leader of the Eritrean Liberation Front, which has been designated in Canada as a terrorist organization for the purpose of excluding people from the making of refugee claims. And I'm familiar with the jurisprudence, so I can see that happening. Another was Semra Gebremariam, who's the head of the Eritrean consulate in Canada. There's no embassy, so he's the head guy here. And these people were speaking about raising money for the government, for the military. There are sanctions against Eritrea because it's been providing arms and money to al-Shabaab in Somalia. These speakers were, and Canada's been participating in the sanctions, and these speakers were criticizing the sanctions and Canadian participation.
Okay, so these are sanctions that were set up by the UN and that Canada signed on in 2010.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so we have these entities that have apparently come to Winnipeg and are, in Toronto, Calgary, and now Winnipeg have been raising funds for the Eritrean military, apparently in violation of Canadian law. So, and I know that there was in the Winnipeg Free Press Friday morning this was mentioned. So, I'm a little bit curious to know why it is that the Canadian government, if this is true, why the Canadian police or other border security agency authorities haven't acted as yet to prevent or detain these individuals.
I'm not a spokesman for the government, and I can't tell you for certain why they've done nothing. I can only speculate, but I assume what's going on is that these people didn't come here, well, or Zemrit Yohannes didn't come here and say, I'd like a visa to come raise funds for the military. He must have said something else. Now, Zemrit Yohannes, I mean, you can see in the internet that he is a former leader of the Eritrean Liberation Front, and you can see by looking at the jurisprudence that it's been designated for the purposes of refugee claims, exclusion as a terrorist organization. So on its face, he seems to be inadmissible. And how he got a visa, no matter what he said to the visa officer, a Canadian visa officer brought, I'm not sure, but and he looks to be inadmissible, but there must have been some form of misrepresentation. And of course, when these people come here, they're speaking to a crowd of mostly supporters in the Eritrean language. They're not speaking in English, so for the Canada Border Services Agency, they're I would say the victims of misrepresentation, which it takes them a certain amount of effort to get through or pierce through in order to figure out what's happening.
Mm. Now, I mean, a more when we talk about banning groups that from Canada who are involved, or groups that are banned under Canadian law. I mean, if we take maybe a more extreme example, say Al-Qaeda or you know, say someone from Hezbollah, I mean, I believe we've got the same sorts of prohibitions in place. Is it a simple matter then to just misrepresent yourself and come into the country?
I would hope not. It's possible. I mean, obviously we've had a very long history of that with the Nazi war criminals, because there is lots of them that came in that way. It's not as difficult as it should be. The visa offices, of course, they're very busy, and there's huge queues, and there's a lot of people waiting to get visas, many of them have reasons for visas which are time-limited, like a wedding or a funeral or so on, so there's a lot of pressure on the visa offices to do things quickly, and it becomes difficult in those circumstances to pierce through misrepresentations. But, I mean, in the case of Zemrit Yohannes, as I say, it didn't take me that long to find out who he was, because it's just there on the Internet. And it looks to me like the visa office was either asleep at the switch or granted him an indulgence, which they shouldn't have given him.
Well, I mean, like you've managed to figure this out, and this Eritrean Canadian human rights group has managed to come up with this information. Wouldn't it now that the deception, I mean, if we're to believe everything we're hearing, if the deception has been exposed, then isn't it a simple matter for police agencies to go in and arrest the individual in question or detain him?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's not simply a matter of believing what we've been told, because there are tapes of these, at least the Calgary meeting, and so I suppose what they'd have to do is get a translator and make sure they got a good translation. But the Eritrean consulate has already been warned about this sort of behavior, because what they've been doing is they've been squeezing money, basically extorting money out of the Eritrean community, in effect imposing a tax on them for simple consular services, the renewal of a passport or granting of an entry visa if they want to return, or an exit visa for relatives who want to leave, which is 2% of the total income of the people who are supposedly Eritreans in the diaspora. And the problem with this banned tour is not just Zemrit Yohannes, but also Samir Gebremaryan and his use of the consular office here for that purpose. And so in my view, it shouldn't just be a matter of expelling the band and Zemrit Yohannes, who may have already left Canada for all I know, but also dealing with the continuing problem of the inappropriate behavior of the Eritrean consulate in Canada.
Okay. Well, David Matisler, we really appreciate those insights. I don't know if you wanted to conclude maybe with a suggestion as to what specifically needs to be done at this point to perhaps prevent these sorts of activities from happening in the future.
Well, I mean, of course, I'm an immigration lawyer, and I deal with deportation cases all the time. And what I see is the department going with enthusiasm after the low-hanging fruit, the stuff that to prove comes quickly to their attention, and where there's not much of an issue in terms of And in my own view, they should be giving higher priority to the more serious cases rather than the ones that are easier to deal with.
Okay. Well, David Matus, thank you very much for sharing those insights with us.
Okay, thanks.
That was internationally acclaimed human rights lawyer David Matus speaking on this recent development around what's believed to be an illegal fundraiser for the Eritrean regime. We're going to go to a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to have more contact for you, so please stay tuned.